Welcome to the Adventures of Andrew Briggs. My name is Andrew, and these are my adventures. This is a podcast about the places I go, the people I meet, the things I see, and some of the lessons I learn along the way. So hop in, and let's go. Hello, welcome to episode 4. So for the past 9 months or so, I've been traveling around the U.S. in my Chevy van. I'm currently sitting in the back of it at the Long Point Boat Launch in North Carolina. These past 2 weeks, I have moved pretty quickly through the panhandle of Florida, down the west coast of Florida, all the way down to Key West, which was kind of the halfway point I considered of this trip, considering Key West is kind of the opposite corner of continental U.S. Well, it's not even continental, it's an island, but the opposite corner of the U.S. from Washington. After leaving Key West, I started heading north up the east coast, passed along that all the way up to Georgia, up through South Carolina, and now I find myself in North Carolina. Along the way, I met up with a few friends, and I saw a bunch of different things along the way, but this episode is going to be about, it's going to be from a few months ago when I initially arrived into Utah, some of the work that I did there, and the first national park that I explored. But before I even get into that, I did want to make a correction from the last episode. One of the things I did say was that while I was in Lake Havasu City, there was an imitation London Bridge, and that's not exactly right. The bridge was actually built originally in the 1830s in London, and then in the 1960s, it was shipped over to America. So they just built a bridge and they put the stones on the outside of it. So what the Wikipedia, trusty Wikipedia says is the Arizona Bridge is a reinforced concrete structure clad in the original masonry from the 1830s bridge. So I just wanted to clear that up before moving forward. So initially coming into Utah, I was shocked by the beauty of it. Everywhere I was driving, everything alongside the road was catching my attention. It actually got a little bit dangerous to be driving because everything was everything that I was going by, I couldn't help but stare at. The reason I was going to Utah was mostly because there was work to be done there and there was a good opportunity. And also, there's a lot of national parks in the area, and this gave me a good opportunity to explore them. If I could stay in the area a while longer, it'd give me some time to check all those out. And what I was doing there for the work was, I was using this company online called Workaway, which I've talked about before, but if you don't know what it is, Workaway is a company online where somebody will post a job they have at their house, and you offer to work that job, and it pays for your food and for your rent, and sometimes they'll even pay you cash. So this one that I was doing was in a city called Cannonville. I have about 200 or 300 people. Initially on their post, they said they could pay me. 2 days before I showed up, they said they couldn't pay me. And honestly, at that time, I wasn't too upset about it because I was just excited to be in the area and explore the parks. But at the end, they felt bad because of the amount of work that I did and they enjoyed having me there. So They did end up paying me, so I was able to make $2,500 along the way, which has made all of this a little bit more possible. I didn't know the family at all until, I didn't know their address or what city it was until the day before. I didn't know their names until I met them. I didn't know how many kids they had. It was a husband and a wife. I'm going to use fake names because I'm not going to, for the sake of privacy. So I'm going to call them Howard and Karen, which are just some of my old neighbors. But I didn't meet Howard and Karen until I showed up at their house. They had 5 kids. They had 3 cats, a dog. They had chickens, a goat. They had 2 cows, 2 pigs. They had a rental property. They had 2 projects going on at their house, which is the main things I helped with. But they had a lot going on. There was a very busy a busy area for them to be managing all this stuff. Also, Howard was in the process of designing and writing code for a online program or a website where you'll basically do virtual walkthroughs of different national parks and state parks around the area by using different LiDAR cameras. They'd record the hike, and then you can go on this hike virtually. So he was in the process of building that. Where Karen, she did more of the work around the house as far as like the construction projects and dealing with the Airbnb they had. She was there. I mean, they both helped each other out in their own ways on their different projects, but those were the kind of their kind of main focuses. They both grew up in the Mormon church. This, like I said, it's about 200 or 300 people in the community, and it was definitely a highly Mormon population. They had both left the church when they were younger, and I'm not going to give too much detail about this story because it is their story to share, but I do want to give a little bit of context of the people that I was living with. So they had both left the church when they were younger. They kind of felt that there was some obvious manipulation and deception going on, so they decided to leave, and that does come with consequences in a community like that. You're kind of ostracized from the community a little bit. You're kind of the outcast of the community. You're just treated differently. So that was something that I definitely noticed that as I watched them interact with some of the people and just the way they were treated. You could kind of see that. And they could definitely feel the impact within themselves, and just the way they, and not only from the community, but from the upbringing that they had within it and the different sorts of things that they had been trained to do as kids. They were still trying to work through some of those. While I was in this area, I actually didn't stay in the van. I actually lived in their basement while I was there. I was there for 69 days, just over 2 months. And I mean, they had an air-conditioned basement with a bathroom and a kitchen and everything. So it was sweet. It was a sweet score. So I did that. I definitely traveled around in the van a lot, and I spent a lot of time in the van, but I was sleeping in their basement. The schedule that I had while I was there was Monday to Friday, 9 to 1. And the main projects that I was working on while I was there was the two at their house. So they had, one of them was an outdoor freezer room. When I got there, they had already had the frame up and the runners up, but we completed that till it was sealed for winter. So all the plywood on the outside, we did doors and windows, we did some insulation on the inside and a few different things. But the main project that I worked on was a small home that I built for them. When I got there, it was just a concrete slab with the plumbing. And when I left, it was completed. It wasn't fully completed and ready to live in or anything, but it was sealed up to the winter as well. So it was frame, electrical was put in, the side, or not the siding, but the plywood on the outside walls. The runners were on for the roof. The plywood was on the roof. I built two decks. What else? And a bit of insulation in that one as well. And then doors and windows. And there was three windows in that one. But it was basically just a small home that they wanted so that workawayers in the future could have a place to live, and they could stay there for a little bit longer term and not have to take up the basement, or they could just live right there and it'd be a nice little mother-in-law home for them. So those are the two main things that I did while I was there. And I initially, normally they said when we have new people show up to our house, we normally give them 2 or 3 days so they can settle in and kind of get comfortable with the area. But they didn't want that to happen for me. They didn't want that for me because there was also, when I showed up, there was another couple and their daughter that was there, that they were workawayers as well. And the guy that was there was an electrician. He was just a badass. He's like an ex-CIA, freaking hair slick back, just a cool dude. And he was an electrician, so they wanted me to get started in the work right away so that by the time that they took off, we could have the plywood up on the walls so that he could wire and mount the electrical. There was a few things I couldn't do on the small house by myself, but I probably did 80 or 90% of the work. I mean, there's things you can't do. Like, I didn't do the major wiring. I didn't use the backhoe to dig out for the wiring. I didn't lift the walls by myself. There's a few things that you just can't do. And then, I mean, I didn't write the blueprints or anything like that. So there was definitely some work I didn't do, but it was definitely much more than I had done in the past. The first national park that I explored was Bryce Canyon, because Bryce Canyon is only about 11 miles from Cannonville, where I was staying. So the first weekend I had off, I headed up there. It was $35 for the week to get a pass in. It was really nice to meet Bryce, but you can tell it's federally run because they require you to buy a 1 week pass. You can't just buy like a 1 day pass or a weekend pass. They require you to get the full 7 days, even if you're passing through, which that's the way it works here. It was going to Bryce was fantastic. It's honestly one of my favorite parks that I've been to. It's definitely, I would say top four maybe. It's up there. I mean, it's crazy to see because you can see millions of years of erosion that have happened, that the snow and the water and the ice have been cutting through the clay and the sand and the stone like a fine blade, and it cuts through. It cuts out these like stone totem poles they call hoodoos, and they also have these like just to see the different color gradients that move along. So they have like bright whites and tans all the way down to dark oranges and reds. So you can see the different weather patterns that had happened throughout the eras, which is interesting to observe. So another thing that was cool about being there at this time was it was monsoon season. So it'd be nice and sunny. And then 10 minutes later, out of nowhere, a dark blue, black, purple cloud would show up and it would start pouring rain or hailing. And then you give it another 20 minutes and it's back to nice and sunny. Which is kind of cool when you're out there sweating to get a little cool down. But the first day of hiking that I did was, right when you pull in, you park at you get in the parking lot, and right when you get out, there's a viewpoint called Sunset Point, which is easily accessible. It's right there at the parking lot. And from there, you can see Thor's Hammer, which is an iconic point there. You can also walk down through Navajo Loop Trail. And that's, if you ever go to Bryce Canyon, that's definitely one that I would suggest. It's kind of a beginner's hike, but it's easily accessible, easily doable, and very scenic. You can see some iconic points you've probably seen on the internet there. But instead of stopping at the Navajo Loop, I went to the end of the Navajo Loop and I turned right and followed the Peekaboo Trail and saw a couple different sites one of the well-known sites through there is the Wall of Windows. Eventually that wrapped me back up to Bryce Point, which is back up at the rim. From there, I took the rim trail over to Inspiration Point. I got some inspiration, and then I kept moving along the rim trail to Sunset Point, back to where I started. So that day was probably about 10 miles of hiking or so. And again, I would suggest if you're there, I would definitely suggest going to Bryce Canyon. But Navajo Loop Trail is an easy one, a scenic one, and definitely one that's accessible to nearly everybody. The second day I came back on Sunday, I started again at sunset. I went down through Navajo Loop again, through Wall Street, which is a really well-known spot. But instead of taking right over to Peekaboo, I went left over to Queen's Garden, and that wrapped me back up to Sunrise Point after going through a couple tunnels and finding some interesting viewpoints there. And after getting back up to Sunrise Point, I needed to get a little more energy because the day was still early, so I could do some more hiking. So I went back to the van, I grabbed some snacks and some pre-workout, and I headed back along the Rim Trail all the way to Fairyland Trail, which Fairyland Trail has been that's definitely the number one that I would suggest that I did there. It's something new you can see around every corner there. Like you go around a sharp turn and then the steep cliffs, and you go through a stone tunnel and it opens up to a 360 panoramic view overlooking a volcano field. Where they're not actually volcanoes. They just look like small volcanoes. It's definitely the one that I would suggest, but if you're planning on doing that one, bring some extra water. Maybe bring some beef jerky or some peanuts or something like that. Something to get you going, because it's a bit of a longer one, but definitely worth the time and worth the energy. Day three that I came back, I just drove through because those 2 days I think covered the majority of the trails that you can do around them, the majority of the spots. And I just wanted to get all the way down to the end of the park because it's decently long. I think over 20 miles, maybe a little bit less, okay, somewhere around there, like a 20 mile drive down to the end of Bryce Canyon. But along the way, I stopped at a few of the different viewpoints. The iconic viewpoint, one of the most well-known ones through there, is called the Natural Bridge. And I got all the way down to the end and stopped at Rainbow Point. I got out there, which is all the way down, which is the last point you'll get to there. And then I got out there and watched the sunset. I really enjoyed Bryce, and Bryce is definitely one of my most suggested national parks to check out if you're in the area. If you're in the area of Utah as well, definitely check out Zion. Zion National Park is probably one of my top favorites of all time. It's beautiful. Something I noticed as I was walking around Bryce Canyon. One of these observations I had was, you know, I found that it was hard to keep my phone away. Everything was so beautiful and different and amazing that it was hard to keep my phone and my camera away. And then I started thinking, like, am I limiting myself by, like, am I missing something by using this phone to, like, to viewing everything, all this beauty around me through this phone? Or am I taking all these pictures for memory, or will I ever even look back on these, or ever look back on these? Am I doing this to eventually share my story and maybe do a podcast? Or am I doing this for dopamine or attention online or something? Like, am I doing it to put these on social media? And honestly, it's a bit of all of these things. But a lyric came to mind, like an old lyric that I used to listen to as a kid came to mind. It said, you can jumble them all together, but the conflict still remains. So I stopped trying, I stopped asking these questions, and I stopped trying to answer those questions, because the conflict's still going to be there regardless. So I stopped trying to answer those questions. I try to just remove self-judgment and look at myself for what I was doing. And whatever I chose to be doing in that time, I just told myself to let it all be part of the journey, which is the same thing I talked about in episode 2 that my buddy Tommy suggested to me. And whatever you do, do the best you can do it. So now I'm using all those photos and these and those picture and the pictures and videos to put together a podcast, and I'm putting YouTube videos together with the pictures and the videos. And honestly, doing this podcast helps me a lot. I definitely don't do it as much as I would like, or as much as maybe I should. But there's a lot of chaos when you're in a new place every day and it's really busy. And I'm not trying necessarily to justify. I'm just trying to explain to myself what this is. It's hard to find a routine out here when everything's different every day. Like, it's hard to find a rhythm when the tempo's different every day. But one thing I have found is that every time that I do this and I sit down, I organize this, I write it out what I want it to look like at my different points, and just to organize it and create this thing, that's a bulwark against all the excess chaos. I can convince myself that this isn't what I need to be doing, or that I should be moving this or doing that. But when I actually slow down and do this, it makes my days better. Just the simple act of organization and creation. So, another thing was that when I was in Austin, my buddy Tommy asked me what has been the best and the worst thing so far. And I don't know what the worst is. I don't know what the best is. But the first thing that came back to me, the first thing that came to mind that may have been the best thing was building this small home. That's what jumped out in my head. And I was trying to understand why that would be. Like, why is doing work the best part so far? You've been to all these national parks and all on the coast and these beautiful beaches and all this stuff. Like, why was that work the best part? And I think because I feel there's a few reasons. I think one of them was because I was doing something that I wasn't sure that I could even do. Like, I had never done work like that fully. I mean, I had worked for a handyman service, but I'd never done a job that big by myself. I was kind of more the apprentice at the job I was working at. And I think another thing was is that I was pushing my skills farther than they could go, or than they were at that point, farther than they had previously been. You know, I was developing, I was growing, I was learning something. And I also, when you get to the end and you look at it and you're like, I built that. Like, there's something about that that is just, that made it stick out as one of the best things so far. So on that note, I'm going to wrap this up. And if you have any suggestions or advice to me, you can feel free to reach out to me. I'm going to be heading to the Northeast, into New England area. So if anyone has any suggestions of places to see, I have a few things on my list, quite a few things. But if anyone has anything to see, anything I can't miss, a little hidden spot, some good ice cream or something, or a good hot dog or whatever it is, some pizza, send it my way, and maybe I can make it there. And also, yeah, if you have any questions, send them my way also. And hopefully I can get to those when I got the time. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you taking the time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.